नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। श्रृण्वतां स्वकथा कृष्ण पुण्यश्रवण कीर्तना हृदयन्तःस्थोय भद्राणि विधुनोति सुहृत्सताम्। हरे कृष्ण। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 50 एंटाइटल्ड कृष्ण एस्टैब्लिशेस द्वारका द सिटी ऑफ द्वारका टेक्स्ट 5 एंड 6। So both these texts are together. We'll first read text number 5 and then I'll read the translation and purport. Nirikshya tad balam Krishna Udvelam iva sagaram Swapuram tena samruddham Swajanam cha bhayakulam। निरीक्ष्य तद्बलं कृष्ण उद्वेलं इव सागरं स्वपुरं तेन संरुद्धं स्वजनं च भयाकुलं। निरीक्ष्य तद्बलं कृष्ण उद्वेलं इव सागरं स्वपुरं तेन समृद्धं स्वजनं च भयाकुलं। तद्बलं कृष्ण उद्वेलं इव सागरं स्वपुरं तेन समृद्धं स्वजनं च भयाकुलं। मताजिस् निरीक्ष्य तद्बलं कृष्ण उद्वेलं इव सागरं तेन समृद्धं स्वजनं च भयाकुलं। टेक्स्ट 5। चिन्तयामास भगवान् हरिः कारणमानुषः तद्देशकालानुगुणं स्वावतार प्रयोजनं। वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग। निरीक्ष्य ऑब्जर्विंग तत् ऑफ हिम जरासंध बलम द मिलिटरी फोर्स कृष्ण लॉर्ड कृष्ण उद्वेलम हैविंग ओवरफ्लोड इट्स बाउंड्रीज इव लाइक सागरम एन ओशियन स्व his own Puram city Mathura, Tena by it Samruddham besieged Swajanam his subjects Cha and Bhaya by fear Akulam disturbed. Translation and purport. Although Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the original cause of this world, when he descended to the earth, he played the role of a human being. Thus, when he saw Jarasandha's assembled army surrounding his city like a great ocean overflowing its shores, and when he saw how his army was striking fear in his subjects, the Lord considered what his suitable response should be according to the time, place, and specific purpose of his current incarnation. Purport. The Acharyas point out that the Supreme Godhead did not have to worry about a mortal attack from Jarasandha and his soldiers. But as stated here, Shri Krishna was playing the part of a human being, Karana Manushah, and he played the part well. This play is called Leela, the Lord's enactment of spiritual pastimes for the pleasure of his devotees. Although ordinary persons may be dumbfounded by the Lord's pastimes, the devotees derive tremendous pleasure from his intimate style of behavior. Although ordinary persons may be dumbfounded by the Lord's pastimes, the devotees derive tremendous pleasure from his inimitable style of behavior. Thus, Srila Sridhar Swami points out that Sri Krishna thought as follows. How should I defeat Jarasandha? Should I kill the army but not Jarasandha? Or should I kill Jarasandha and take the army for myself? Or perhaps I should just kill both of them? Lord Krishna's conclusion is described in the following verses. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Namaha Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desa Dharine Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratushe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostude Taptakangjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Although Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the original cause of this world, when he descended to the earth, he played the role of a human being. Thus, when he saw Jarasandha's assembled army surrounding his city like a great ocean, overflowing its shores, and when he saw how his army was striking fear into his subjects, the Lord considered what his suitable response should be according to the time, place, and specific purpose of his current incarnation. Hare Krishna. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. The chapter is entitled Krishna Establishes the City of Dwarka. In Sararth Darshini, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he starts this chapter by praying and offering his respects to his Guru, asking his blessings that he can now start explaining the second part of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he says the pastimes of the Lord in Vrindavan, they are the first part of Srimad Bhagavatam. And now that Lord Krishna will be actually moving out from Vraj, Mathura also comes in the Vraj Mandal and established city in Dwarka. So chapters from 50 onwards, they are all the pastimes of the Lord which are performed more in the mood of duty, why he was called on this planet Earth in the first instance. So, you know, we are entering into the second phase of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein so many activities of the Lord which are in the nature of chivalry will be revealed. So till now, Lord Krishna was a sweet little boy from Vrindavan and doing many mischievous pranks with the gopas, the gopis, and the cows and all the animals of Vraj. But here we'll see the other personality of the Lord, who quite often the materialistic people who don't understand Lord Krishna, they address him as a very expert politician, organizer, administrator. So we'll see that portion of his leela from this chapter onwards. So, you know, this is the specific glory of Srimad Bhagavatam. Although there are so many scriptures, but most of the scriptures, the Vedic scriptures, and those scriptures which are not in the fold of Vedic, teaching, they are a little on the periphery. So, the aim of all these scriptures is directly or indirectly just catering to dharma, artha, kama and moksha, to somehow address these four needs of human beings. And Srimad Bhagavatam specifically, if we see the first, the second verse in the first canto, first chapter itself, the author establishes that this Srimad Bhagavatam will decimate all the so-called cheating religions and establish the supremacy of Srimad Bhagavatam amongst all the other scriptures. So, you know, we see that the first chapter itself starts with all the sages, they are assembled in Kurukshetra, Naimisharanya, and performing a long, you know, 1,000-year sacrifice. And then, the purpose of the sacrifice was to do good to people. In fact, sacrifice is meant for that. You know, otherwise no one would do any sacrifice. You know, parents do sacrifice for children, for the children's welfare. Otherwise no one would do any sacrifice. So they are engaged in this sacrifice And at that time, Suta Goswami, he comes there, and these sages, they approach Suta Goswami, and they ask him that what is the highest welfare for people in general? So that is the first question that they ask. What is real good for people? And then they ask that especially so because people in general in Kali Yuga are so less intelligent, they don't know what is good for them. So someone has to make provision for their good. So that's why they all ask this question out of concern. And they say that how the people in general will be affected by these, they address the Kali Yuga people, all of us, with five adjectives. He says they are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and always disturbed. So no need to elaborate on all these five adjectives. You know, we all face all of them every day, probably moment to moment. Even now, few of us may be disturbed. I am disturbed. So, you know, these sages, out of concern for all these, all of us, they are asking these questions. And it is mentioned, in fact, we see from this very questions that they are asking, it shows that they are, as we say, you know, the real good people. Many people, they pose themselves to be very good. And they have many, in these days, many ad agencies and media, you know, publicity agencies that they help a person to improve his profile. But here we see that, you know, by their very mood and questions, they show that, you know, their profile, you know, they are real, very genuine and you know, kind-hearted sages. In one of the Upanishads, which is called as Mahopanishad, this verse comes. It is two lines or two words of this verse are very famous, which we all will acknowledge. So the verse says, "Ayam bandhur ayam neti gunana laghu chetasam." Udara charitanam tu vasudhaiva kutumbakam. He says, those who are of mean minded, laghu chetasam, what is their way of thinking? Ayam bandhur, ayam neti. He is my friend or he is my relative and my family member. And these others, they are not. So they make a differentiation. But what is the characteristic? The character of Udar or those who are very magnanimous. Udar charita naam tu vasudhaiva kutumbakam. So this is not Vasudeva, which we refer to Lord Krishna, but it is Vasudeva. Means all the living entities, they are one family. And in Kali Yuga, the second category, that is Udar charita naam, is very less. And, you know, very sad, but today also happens to be 13th anniversary of some people who displayed the first category, that is Laghu Chetasam. Today is 9/11, famous 9/11. So, we won't go into details, but we all understand what I mean. So, whenever there is this differentiation between our people and others, that is the sign of this mean-minded. And as Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he describes what is the cause of it. So in the 18th chapter, he says, there are three kinds of knowledge. That knowledge by which one undivided spiritual nature is seen in all living entities, though they are divided into innumerable forms, you should understand to be in the mode of goodness. That knowledge by which one sees that in every different body there is a different type of living entity, you should understand to be in the mode of passion. And that knowledge by which one is attached to one kind of work as the all in all, without knowledge of the truth, and which is very meager, is said to be in the mode of darkness or ignorance. So we see that, you know, the latter two parts of knowledge are most prominent in this world. People are attached to what they are doing, people are attached to their own opinions, and we see that the result is chaos in this world. So they are not open-minded. They don't understand the common factor which is, you know, pervading in all the living entities, that is the existence of soul. Not just of human beings, but even for animals. But people are so mean-minded, as we see here, Laghu Charitanam, that what to speak of difference between man and animals, they don't even see that commonality between human beings themselves. So, as someone was saying, that now there is this, again, unfortunate but natural incident, that is floods in Jammu and Kashmir area, and even in Pakistan occupied Kashmir. Nature does not see any difference, right? Nature is not targeting any one particular group. But unfortunately, because of this passion and ignorance, human beings, under their influence, they do that, and that causes so much misery. When a person is dead, there is no difference of what he was. It's all a bundle of five material elements. But when alive, we make differences. So that is the unfortunate situation of Kali Yuga. So seeing all these things, the sages in Naimisharanya are asking these pertinent questions, not for their benefit, for our benefit. So that whatever is written in Srimad Bhagavatam, at least 1% sinks in our hearts and minds, there can be so much benefit that we can derive. And then they ask this question, that there are so many scriptures, so you please say what is the essence of all these scriptures. So Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken then by Suta Goswami, and that is a narration of what happened between Parikshit Maharaj and Shukdev Goswami. And this Srimad Bhagavatam is like a PowerPoint. So, if you see, you know, sometimes there is a presentation and so many things have to be spoken. But then, when it has to be done in a very concise way without wasting so much time, we prefer to have a PowerPoint. And whatever important points are there, they are listed in that. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is like that PowerPoint. And every point is very powerful. Each and every canto refers and, you know, deals with a certain subject, you know, the 10 main subjects of Srimad Bhagavatam. And each and every chapter has certain importance, and in that each and every verse is very powerful. In, you know, one time while conversing with someone, Srila Prabhupada said that this Krishna book is so important. So Krishna book is a summary study of the 10th canto which we are dealing with now. And he says that even if a person reads one chapter of Krishna book, then he'll attain perfection of his life. Then he says, why one chapter? Even one page a person reads. And then he says, even one line. And then he says, even one word if a person reads Krishna, life will be perfect. So this is what Srimad Bhagavatam is. Unfortunately, we don't have much taste for it. So diseased condition. So trying. So for my purification, I have been asked to sit here so that I can get some taste. So, you know, in this purport which we are dealing with now, you know, it mentions that Krishna is thinking that now the city of Mathura is you know, seized and is surrounded by the military of Jarasandh, what should he do now? And he is thinking in so many different ways, which is you know, very nicely explained by Sridhar Swami. And you know, here the purport also says, and even the verse says, that why Krishna is thinking like this? Because Hari Karana Manusham, because he is appearing now as a human being. So, and then again in the purport they say that, and he plays the role very well as a human being, when he comes as a human being. So, one of the questions of the sages was also that why Krishna appeared in this world? What was the purpose for which the Lord appeared? And, you know, he displayed so many different superhuman pastimes along with Lord Balaram. And, you know, he played as a Gudha Kapata Manusham. That with a covering of looking like a human being, but not human being. So, you know, Krishna, he says in Bhagavad Gita that often when Krishna, he appears, people mistake him and don't understand. He says in Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th chapter, that avajananti mam mudha manushem tanmashita param bhavam ajananto mam bhuta maheshwaram mam avyam anuttamam. Sorry. So, you know, Krishna, it's not, you know, a surprise that people don't understand. You know, because Krishna himself is saying that, you know, when I come as a human being, they don't understand. And, in fact, Krishna also reserves the prerogative of how much he reveals himself to someone. In the 7th chapter itself of Bhagavad Gita, he says that Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samavritam, that I cover myself from the vision of those whom I don't want myself to be revealed by my internal potency, Yoga Maya. And that he does by perfectly acting like a human being, an ordinary human being. So if someone is very, you know, expert, very powerful, so powerful personalities can be identified, you know, by the display of their power and things surrounding them. But if someone is very, you know, expert dramatist, then he may not be revealed also. Sometimes it is mentioned that kings in earlier ages, they would go around in the kingdom as an ordinary human being, just to see what's happening. It is mentioned about Lord Ramchandra also, like that. So Krishna, he appears as a very ordinary human being and does many times, most of the time, seemingly ordinary activities like stealing butter and so many things. And, you know, now in this purport, Krishna is, you know, explained to be thinking that what I should be doing. And the verse says that he will decide according to tad desha kalanu gunam swavatara prayojanam, and also according to the purpose for which he came in this particular incarnation as Lord Krishna. So in the beginning of 10th canto, all the demigods and different sages along with Mother Earth in the form of cow, they approach Lord Vishnu. That time he says that I will appear to reduce the burden of earth. And so Krishna is now meditating on that, that now the time has come that I have to perform this task also, this duty. So he was requested by the demigods to come. So, you know, few days back, in Brahmachari class, it was being discussed that, you know, how in Uddhav Gita, when Lord Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, just about to leave this world. So he says, I was called for a specific purpose, and now that purpose is over, so I am going. So the speaker, he was saying that how Krishna is not obliged to come. Huh? Many times, you know, some person may ask certain thing to be done of a powerful person. So he can get it done through so many energies, through so many assistants. But when that person does it himself, it's not that he is inferior to the person who is asking. So Krishna, out of love and affection for the demigods, he accepts their request as an order and accomplishes the task for which he comes. So now Krishna is thinking that, oh, I have been asked and this is now my duty, that I have to annihilate these demons which are creating havoc on this earth. And in Bhagavad Gita, again, as we mentioned, actually Krishna does not need to do himself because his energies are so powerful. We see some little group of clouds can do so much havoc that hundreds and thousands of people, they are displaced and crores worth of assets are destroyed and still more crores money is being spent just to save the situation, right? Or prevent more disaster. What to speak of again rebuilding or reinstating the same thing in the, you know, earlier condition. So this is the power of just one element of Krishna's creation, that is water, which then puts again the other element, earth, into motion, and so many things happen, right? So if that is the power of the Lord, why still he does things as he is doing now? So besides coming to this material world for annihilation of these demigods, actually he takes that as a excuse to establish real dharma or duty. So as Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita again, in the third chapter, he mentions that, O son of Pritha, there is no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems, nor am I in want of anything, nor have I a need to obtain anything, and yet I am engaged in prescribed duties. So there is no need for Krishna to do anything. He does not want any result from the activity. We will see in the later verses that just by his yogamaya potency, he transferred all the residents of Mathura to Dwarka overnight. And overnight, the Dwarka city was also built. So if that is the potency, then was it very difficult for him to overnight or, you know, over, you know, maybe few minutes or seconds or hours, transfer all this army to the same ocean, but not on the island, in the water? That would not have been very difficult. And Jarasandh, he is king of Magadha, which is current day Bihar. And just like any other states which are adjoining Ganga, Bihar is also flooded many times. And the flood is very devastating. So it was not difficult for him to even flood Bihar. So what just to speak of the army, he could have flooded the entire country. So that was not difficult for him. But he comes to establish this duty or this sense of, you know, dharma, that we have prescribed duty, because in conditioned state we have prescribed duties, whatever we may be. So it does not matter where we are situated in varna or ashram, but we have to get purified, and for that purification, the prescribed duties are the means. For if I ever failed to engage in carefully performing prescribed duties, O Partha, certainly all men would follow my path. If I did not perform prescribed duties, all these worlds would be put to ruination. I would be the cause of creating unwanted population, and I would thereby destroy the peace of all living beings. So what is this duty? These are basically, you know, the rules and regulations which are prescribed according to Varna and Ashram. So if the Lord is the creator of these rules, why he has to follow these rules? But still, to set an example, he follows. So, following in the footsteps of the Lord, you know, all of us, we have to follow rules and regulations. That's our prescribed duty. And that way, we get purified. Otherwise, purification is a distant thing for us. And, you know, then he starts thinking about, you know, this Jarasandh, and he has brought such a big, enormous army. And in the previous verse, in the fourth text, the verse yesterday, it mentions the numbers. What is the strength of his army? So it says that one Akshauhini consists of 21,870 soldiers on elephants. 21,870 charioteers. And double of that, that is 65,610 cavalrymen. So cavalrymen are those who are riding the horses. And 1,09,350 infantry soldiers. So that is one Akshauhini, and he got 23 of those. So that sums up to 50,30,100 fighters. Besides their animals and their chariots and, you know. So that is the enormity. So 50 lakhs is basically half a crore. So if you see Mathura, is not a very big city, it's a kind of town only. It is surrounded by 50 lakhs. So it was, you know, as mentioned here, it was definitely like Sagar, Udvelam, you know, crossing its boundaries. So Krishna is thinking in this way. And then, as mentioned here, Sridhar Swami says that, what should I do? Should I kill Jarasandh and take the army? That will be a good thing, you know, 50 lakh. Muft mein mil jayega. Or should I kill both of them? Or should I just kill the army? So he is thinking in these ways. Why? Actually, if we see, Jarasandh was very powerful. His history has been given in Mahabharata, which also Srila Prabhupada in the first canto, 15th chapter, verse number 9, in the purport, he gives the whole history of who Jarasandh was. So Jarasandh in his earlier life was Viprachitti, a demon named Viprachitti. And Viprachitti was the son of Danu and Kashyap. Danu is daughter of Swayambhu Manu. I don't remember that. Those 17. Daksha. So all these sisters are married to Kashyap. So, Danu, one of the, you know, wives of Kashyap, she begets so many demons. So, one of them is Viprachitti. So, he is the son of Danu and Kashyap. And father of Rahu and 100 sons who are known as Ketus. And these are all very influential planets, especially in Kali Yuga. So this is the, you know, background of Viprachitti. So his father, his sons, and what was his occupation? He was commander for Hiranyakashipu. And then when Hiranyakashipu was killed, then later he was commander with Bali Maharaj and also with Vritrasur. So he was a very powerful warrior. And then Mahabharata it explains in the Sambhava Parva that, you know, when the demigods, they approached the Lord, so he asked them, okay, I'll come as an incarnation. And you all should also, through your portions, take birth, especially in Yaduvamsha. Seeing that all these demigods were coming in these Yaduvamsha, and there was so much of prosperity, so wherever there is a lot of prosperity, there are a few greedy people who come for exploitation. So seeing prosperity on earth, so many different demons also, through their portions, took birth. And through the portion of Viprachitti, Jarasandha was born. And it's not that Viprachitti was dead in some other hellish planets, but as a portion he appears as Jarasandha. And then Prabhupada explains that there was a king named Brihadrath, and he was very powerful, very magnanimous, very generous, youthful, and he got married to two sisters who were daughters of Kashiraj. And then, you know, he was living happily, spending his time with them. But he was becoming old, but he did not get any son. So he was very dejected. And while, you know, he was not very happy, but still ruling the kingdom, he was thinking, what should I do with this kingdom? Actually, I should renounce this. What is the use if I don't have any issues? Who will take care? And so while he is thinking like that, one sage who is descendant of Gautam Rishi, Chanda Kaushik, he comes in his kingdom. And he is a very powerful sage. And as sages, you know, they wander without any, you know, fixed destination and without any cause. They keep moving basically to benefit the people in general. So he comes wandering like that in his kingdom. And he sits under a mango tree and he's meditating. And this news comes to Brihadrath. And he thinks that, okay, anyway I am going to leave the kingdom and go to the forest. Might as well I go to this forest and meet this great sage and please him. So he brings his two wives and, you know, all his, you know, different gifts he brings for the sage. And honors him, respects him, offers obeisances very humbly. And in that way the sage becomes happy. Not by the gifts, but more by his humility. And then the sage, he sees that he is not very happy. And the king, he also asks that, you know, I have everything what anyone would need, but I am still not happy. Actually, I don't have any issues. So what to do? I am thinking of leaving this kingdom and also join doing penances in forest. So the sage says, no, don't do that. And he again goes into meditation. And while he is meditating, a ripe mango fruit falls on his lap. So he takes this mango, chants some mantras and gives it to the king. And tells him that you don't leave the kingdom, you rule it properly. And this fruit, this will give you a very powerful son. So please go. And, you know, do your duties. So he becomes very happy. He comes back to his kingdom. And he gives the mango to his two wives. So previously, he had actually promised these wives, his co, you know, these two wives, that he would never give preference to one over the other. He would treat them equally. So then, he gives this mango equally to both of them. And they eat. And as a matter of, you know, with the passage of time, you know, they show the symptoms of being pregnant. And then in a matter of time, they deliver babies. But to their surprise, the child is half. both of them, they get half-half children, just like you cut a mango into half. So like that, the child is also half. And they become horrified. They think, what should be done? So they call their maid and give the child, so they wrap in some cloth and throw it away. Throw all these, both the two pieces. And there is a demoness named Jara, who is in that kingdom, living in that forest. And she sees these two, you know, parts of the body, and she becomes happy, fresh, that she will enjoy. And for the convenience of carrying, Mahabharata says, she brings both the halves together, and to her surprise, the parts join and the baby starts crying very loudly. So she becomes, what is this? And then she understands that, you know, this is the son of the king, the queen and the other maids, they also understand the child is, you know, come to life, joined. So the demon, this witch, she comes to the king and gives the child back and says that, I live in this country of yours, I am actually a demoness, but seeing your plight, I am giving this child back to you, so, you know, you be happy and allow me also to reside here. So the king, Brihadarath, he also becomes happy and he asks her, you please tell me, what boon do you want? So she says that, just keep the child's name in my name. So he says, okay. So he keeps the child's name as Jarasandha. So this is Jarasandha. So he was very powerful. But as we see, Lord Krishna, through his various other incarnations, he had destroyed the master of this Viprachitti, Hiranyakashipu, defeated Bali Maharaj. So what was so difficult for killing Jarasandha, for the Lord himself? But he is enacting a pastime. He is enacting a drama. So externally he comes to perform the duty for the masses in general. But then he plays all these different acts to attract his devotees, so that they can become attached to the pastimes of the Lord and always are meditating on the Lord. Right? In that way, the affection becomes more intense, and as Lord Krishna says that antakale cha mam eva smaran muktva kalevaram, so at the time of death, when a person leaves thinking about Krishna because of attachment cultivated throughout the life, you know, he goes back to the Lord. So, you know, the Lord, he performs these as drama. And yesterday, in our Brahmachari class again, Radha Gopinath Prabhu, he was mentioning that sometimes we have dramas. And if you know the actor, then you can't enjoy the drama, because you identify the person with the actor with the person himself, not with the character that he is playing. So, you know, the Lord, he acts in a very human way, so that people don't understand, but he does activities which are superhuman. And if, you know, whatever activities the Lord is doing, if we see that, you know, oh, this is God, then the, you know, the charm actually goes, because if he is God and if he is acting as God, then it's just as simple to do everything that he wants, right? In fact, the whole creation in which he enters is created just by glancing, what to speak of even doing any action, right? So the Lord, for him it would have been very easy. So, you know, now because Srimad Bhagavatam, as it is mentioned, it is for the devotees. So we should, when we are reading, we should see it in this light, that Krishna is actually doing all these activities for attracting the devotees. And we see eventually Jarasandha, he was he got killed by the Lord himself through Bhim. So, of course, you know, it took some time for Bhim, but then he was easily killed, just split into two, right? So, you know, the Lord, he used Jarasandha's attack as a good opportunity to, you know, annihilate the different miscreants on the planet Earth. And in the first attempt, he had gathered 50,30,100 of these. So the Lord, in later verse we see, he thinks this is a good idea. You know, he's a great organizer. So let us make him as an instrument. So kill everyone, leave him. And then he'll organize again to attack. So in that way, just through Jarasandh, Lord Krishna got 85,511,700 of these miscreants. So 17 times 23 Akshavani. So that is the calculation. 8.5 crores. And it was just Lord Krishna and Balram himself, they would just go out. Even the army was not required for that. But then, you know, he thought, okay, now we should go to Dwarka, and if everybody is killed, then Kurukshetra would not be there. So leave some for Kurukshetra, for the Mahabharata, and then he goes to Dwarka. So, you know, we see that apparently Lord Krishna comes as a very ordinary human being, but his activities are not very ordinary. And in this material world, there are many things which look very ordinary, but they may not be actually, if we see the result of those things or the potency of those things, they are not very ordinary. There is a nice verse in Panchatantra which says, Hasti sthulataram sachankushavasho kim hasti matrankusho dipe prajvalite pranashyati tamah kim deepamatram tamah vajrenapi hatah patanti giraya kim vajramatro giri tejo yasya virajate sabalvan sthuleshu kah pratyaya. It says that what is the size of an elephant? But the elephant is controlled just by a small stick, which is called as ankush. What is the size of that ankush? You know, if you just compare the size, it is nothing in compared to elephant, because elephant can uproot big trees. What is this small stick? He says, there may be a very deep, dense darkness, but just a small lamp is sufficient actually to destroy darkness. So in a big room which is very dark, if there is one small lamp, you may not see things very clearly, but actually you understand where things are, right? So the ignorance or the darkness is destroyed by a small lamp. And vajra, that is the lightning, it can destroy the peaks of mountains. What is the comparison? So if we see this verse, it goes, you know, in decreasing order of their power in terms of the matter. So the stick is some matter, material, which can be touched. And the size is the elephant, you know, some few feet. And then the ignorance or the darkness, it is vanquished by lamp which is even subtler than that stick. And the mountain which is so big, still subtler than the light, lamp you can at least, you know, you can start, but electricity, it is still subtle. You can't even see and it just strikes and completes. So these things are available in this material nature itself. Says, Tejo yasya virajate sa balavan. Sthuleshu kim pratyaya. So it's not what things apparently appear to be, but what is the force behind that? Tej. So, similarly, the name of the Lord may appear to be very insignificant. Combination of few letters, a few alphabets. But it is very powerful. Why? Tejo yasya virajate sabalvan. It is backed by the Tej. In fact, it is that Tej, the Lord Himself, the name. So the name has that power to destroy the mad, offensive mentality like elephant, the ignorance like the darkness, and even the reactions of our sins which may appear like mountains. But that everything can be destroyed just by purely chanting the names of the Lord. Provided we have that faith. So, you know, someone may say, "Arey, itna bada hathi, you know, how can a stick control it?" But you practically see it, then it works. So similarly, if we, you know, this, we are celebrating World Holy Name Week. So it is pertinent that we speak something about Holy Name. So I just thought that, you know, this may suffice the need. So the Holy Name may look very insignificant, and we have so many examples, right? We all are examples actually, just by chanting the Holy Names, so many of our sinful activities, at least, you know, grossly we have given. And if we just keep chanting Holy Names in association of devotees at the right time, then we can see the effect coming. It's very powerful. You know, it's mentioned that the you know, dharma for the age is sankirtan, chanting together. And if we chant in association of devotees, then the association of devotees again pulls us back to focus on the Holy Name. So we may be forgetful, but devotees then help us. So, you know, we have good fortune by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada that he has very kindly following in the footsteps of the sages of Naimisharanya, thinking about all of us, although we were not present when he was doing his activities. But even for taking care of those in the future, they will come. Very kindly sacrificed so much and brought the Holy Name to the whole world. So we can reciprocate by his mercy by sincerely every day chant the Holy Name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, in the association of devotees. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I am sorry, I exceeded 10 minutes. Baldev Prabhu, you can punish me for that. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.